American media is a business, and it has a mission, not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And it's a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Wednesday, April 13th, 2005. And I have got to tell you that the forces of the universe have been conspiring against me on this particular fine day. You know, there's always that thing in life where you have karma. There's karma, that stuff that goes on where, you know, if you do something bad, I don't know if you track this, but I track this, where I'll do something bad in traffic, where, you know, somebody will have the audacity to be coming into my lane and I'll almost run them over with my car. So, you know, which is fair because that's just road combat. You know, that's in the rules. It comes in the road combat manual, you know. But when, you know, you take that extra step further and get out of your car and, you know, chop up his cat or whatever, that's bad karma. Okay, killing fellow motorists' pets is bad karma. It's not something that you want to do. So instead of doing that, you know, you should refrain from killing other motorists' pets because it complicates things in a very real way. But if you do that, you get bad karma. And then that karma will resurface later in your day, you know, and you'll be sitting there in the back of the police cruiser with your handcuffs on, you know, all doped out on the drugs they shot you full of because you were a threat. And you'd be like, you know, how did I get here? And you got here because of bad karma. You must not do things like that. Now, I must have done some bad stuff because I've had some bad karma today. I had the power go out in like a 90-block country, Canadian block, grid radius all around my house. I didn't have access to the web. Luckily, of course, I had everything on massive UPS backup here. And I'm probably going to go out and buy me a generator just so that I can... Is that a problem? Is that a problem when you are online so much that you buy a generator specifically to maintain your web connection in lieu of problems? Because realistically, if I had my web generator, correct me if I'm wrong, but all the phone lines are still up, right? I mean, if I got power at my house, I should still be able to broadcast and do stuff. But in lieu of that, that means that I have to generate the show on the fly. And now, since we've got multiple stations carrying the signal, it makes it even more difficult. There's more stress. Oh, my God, the stress. It's coming in on me, and I can't get rid of it. But that's okay, because my name is Sean Kennedy. I am the fucking man, and this is Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you at this very moment in time. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal, sean_kennedy.livejournal.com. And it'll go straight to my live journal as soon as I can steal some money so I can pay the live journal Nazis the money I owe them so that I can have it linked directly. You know, only time to turn the page when you hear me say, God damn, I'm glad that Captain Whitebread bought some aluminum canisters of Doc P back into the house. Because I'm going to be slurping on those for the remainder of the show, because you know what? I just don't give a fuck. There's days when, seriously, there are days in your life, and you can take this to the bank. You can remember this now. There are days in your life when you need to have the Insane Clown Posse as a personal coach. Because there are only some times that, you know, you'd be going along doing stuff and shit will get so fucked up where people will,
I'm sorry, it's just not going to happen.
And that's their answer, you know. And at some point, there comes a point when you need to have, you know, a guy in makeup wielding a fire axe say, no, I don't think so. And they start chopping shit up. That's generally how things have got to go eventually. You know, it's almost unavoidable that if you keep, you know, denying obvious truths in the world, that eventually an insane clown is going to attack you with a fire axe. And you can quote me on that shit, because it's the truth. And we only speak the truth because on this, yeah, it didn't really work, did it? This is a free broadcast that can be heard on Rant Radio. And we are also played on the Box, not on the Box Music Network. Sorry, bad show format. They died a little while ago, but we love them. They're still around, but they're not broadcasting. I think I should go there. Go there, theboxmusicnetwork.com. I think, .net.org. Do all of them. They all need your attention. And we're also played on 76 Rant Radio, Wild Bunch Radio, and WNY Media Network. Because they rule, and you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit, and you should do so. Give it to the J-Dubs when they show up. Oh, I've got just what you need. Anyone asks you for pirate software, give them the show instead. Oh, here's what you need. Label the disc. Windows XP 2007. Yeah, it's the new one. It's the Matterhorn cement one. Yeah, it's really, really tight. The new one's actually not called Matterhorn. We had to find something more phallic. So we've called it Cockrod, Windows Cockrod 2007. It's really rad. And its Orifice is really good, too. Getting into some straight feedback from our man on the ground in Taiwan. You think Routers is the only people with reporters? Ah! I say ha twice at your sorry little reporters in Taiwan, because my reporters know better kung fu. They've just got reporters. See, that's just that. They're reporters first. My fans who send me this information, they're ninjas first and reporters second. So you want to try that combat? Every single one of my reporters is a combat photographer, and they're a ninja. This one specifically is a ninja. That's why he's in Taiwan. He's a white guy in Taiwan. What does that tell you, huh? Only white people in Taiwan got to be training as ninjas. But anyway, our man on the ground in Taiwan says, my take on what is going on in Taiwan. Money, money, money. Big business appears to have too much at stake to allow a war to break on either side of the Taiwan Straits. While many of Taiwan's people may want independence from China, few of the business leaders do. Taiwan used to design and manufacture 80% of the world's semiconductors, but now most of the actual production is done on mainland. Chasing cheap labor has lowered the cost. Didn't you just mention about how cheap computers have gotten? But it has bound Taiwan financially to China. Ooh, follow the money. Well, if it stops people from dying, I'm cool with it. I believe that it's only a matter of time before China will be able to cut out the middleman and the economy of Taiwan will begin collapsing. Taiwan may even end up begging China for financial help to aid in the feeding the 22 million people that live on the tiny island. Holy fuck. Currently, Taiwan imports most of its food, oil, and raw building materials, steel, etc., in exchange for cash. So no problem, right? Well, that is yet to be seen. The Chinese are big on respect for authority, as it would be foolish to disregard actions that have been taken in the past to quiet dissenting opinions. Yeah, but the Chinese aren't fucking stupid either. You got to bear in mind that they're going to have people up there with some serious brain power going, no, 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 no. Nobody wants to see dead people, okay? Nobody wants dead people. And yeah, they want to show a sign of force, but that can all be achieved with propaganda. Taiwanese people earn significantly more than mainlanders and enjoy a much higher level of living standard. Ooh, that's bad. China is currently using this point to sway public opinion towards the Taiwanese people. There is little pro-Taiwan sentiment in China proper. If Taiwan insists on pushing China, China will push back, and you don't want to fuck with China. Early last year, the Taiwanese military ran war game simulations to assess their ability to fend off a Chinese assault. Let me do a quick impersonation for you. We declare independence from China. Holy fuck! That's what it would be like. If I recall correctly, it took China about 48 hours to subjugate Taipei and around 4 days to lock down the rest of the island. Wow, they must have been going slowly. That's because it was a simulation and no one was running. I believe the push to separate comes from the knowledge that time is running short and that soon China will be open to the world. Taiwan has a lot of good engineers, but hey, so do most Asian countries. The majority of Taiwan's strength lies in its middleman position and its special relationship to the USA. We can land planes and park troops here anytime we want. Meanwhile, China is poised to explode onto world scene. There's big money to be made. And why should the Taiwanese be the only people to drive SUVs? I'm not too worried about anything bad happening too soon. China really wants to buy weapons from France, and they won't be getting those for at least 6 months. Longer if they piss off the EU. And don't forget about the 2008 Olympics. China wants that almost as much as they want the new war tech. Ironic historical notes. When communists took control of China, the ousted rich and powerful fled to Taiwan so they could go on being capitalists. It's time to go home, kids. China's ready for you now. So that's what's going on, according to our man on the ground in Taiwan, who I'm not going to name because, well, he's in Taiwan. And there could be a lot of crazy Chinese people who are like, no, you'll speak to internet, we kill you, Roundai! And although he's a ninja, I just don't want to make his life more complicated than it already is. Because, man, if you're living in Taiwan, personally, I'd be packing my bag. My AWOL bag would be packed. I'd be packing the rest of my bags and be leaving. Thank you, I'd be on the plane. If you need me be planning, okay? You can, you know, if you want to get a hold of me, you can just dial the plane that I'll be on, and I'll be drinking the little drinks. And I got another WOG report. Now, this is a disturbing report, because you got to understand that nobody's got any reason to lie to me. Now, everyone assumes, oh, they're lying. If something fits with not within their borders, something that they can't, you know, handle, that's how people have reality. You know, they have these pillars of reality that they build. And their perception, which is, that's all it is, their perception of the real world sits on these pillars, like, you know, dead people don't get up. Things like that. there is no God, or there is a God. These are all reality pillars that everybody has. And when you remove one of those pillars, well, the reality becomes unstable, just like table legs. You take a table leg away, the reality becomes unstable. And then you get those annoying people whose reality pillars are really unstable, so their table is just kind of really rocky and they don't know. It's usually a warning to a big collapse, or they need to shore it back up and stuff some good, you know, magazines underneath there or something. But anyway, I got this report here from a fellow WOG who remained also unnamed because, well, I like my WOGs and I don't see any reason to send them to jail just yet. Hello, fellow server node, and greetings and binary options to you. I'm just now catching up to listening to archive shows, and in 46, now this trend itself is kind of disturbing. The fact that people download all my past shows and listen to them when it's a new show regarding daily news, that's kind of akin to taping CNN and watching, like, all these records of CNN. I guess people really enjoy the show. So for that, yeah, if you get something out of it, it passes the time, especially all you truckers out there. I hear there's a lot of people who truck. Well, at least there's one anyway, I know for sure, who's, was all like, damn it, man, I need stuff to listen to on the road. So all you truckers out there, make sure you spread the virus by tossing on the old CB every once in a while. Do they still even have CBs in trucks? I don't know. Convoy. Anyway, and in show 46, you mentioned the UFO thing. Well, I'm just now... Let me start that again. hello, fellow server node. I'm just now catching up to listening to archive shows, and in 46, you mentioned the UFO thing. Well, I had a close encounter of the first kind when I was in junior high. Most people I tell think I'm batshit crazy or I must have been dreaming, but I can assure you I was not. That would make me nuts. Imagine if, never mind if you believe this, but imagine if you did see something and everyone was like, oh, fuck you. I'd be, like, losing it. Probably about 11 to 12 a.m. at night, I was in bed. I heard a rumbling sound outside that I'd never heard before, which... I was, of course, very frightened because this was extremely odd and gave me a sick feeling in the stomach. Something radio waves might do. Like a flash of fear, shivers, etc. I looked out my window to see a UFO fly over my house. At this point, I was in complete shock and could do nothing, which is one of the major reasons why I believe the story. Because I saw this big ship and I'm like, fuck! I was paralyzed. It was just a rounded-off triangle-shaped object, three bright white lights located on each corner. Wow. There's photos of this, eh? Like, other people have seen this, too. And the UFO itself was a peachy, orangish color. Wow. I've never seen anything since, but with little research, I found that the triangle-shaped UFOs are the rarest type reported to be seen, mostly little white dots doing crazy shit high that people document. But this thing was so low, I could see the texture of the hull. Kind of like a smooth brush finish. Please believe, I swear it's true. No one ever does. Anyway, thanks for the time to read this on the show. I know you're very busy. Keep up the rant spirit. Now, you know what? I've seen little lights too. You know, I'm serious. I was out in the fields in Manitoba on Century one time, and I looked up and I saw a bunch of fucking lights. And no, they weren't planes. And no, it wasn't a fucking satellite. Okay, it was doing the funky firefly bullshit in the stratosphere. And then it fucked off at the high port, leaving like a streak across the sky. Now, I know it's not a plane. It's not a satellite. It wasn't fucking smog gas or chain lightning or anything else. Okay, I don't know what it was. So I'm going to call that a UFO because that's what you do with that kind of thing. It becomes called a UFO because that's what UFOs are. You got to bear in mind, man, there's a lot of crazy shit that we don't know about. Maybe it's the government. A lot of people go, well, you know, it's probably just the government doing some experiments. Okay, fair ball. Maybe it is the government. I'm down with that. Show us the government. Rock on. Sounds good to me. I like the idea of the government versus aliens who are going to be landing and cutting up our cows. My cows, leave Bessie the fuck alone. All right? Now, let's get into some news. Now, I'm very much a stickler when it comes to, you know, new terms, you know. I get angry when people call robots or remotes robots. You know, I get angry when they call robots androids when they're not androids. But I have no idea what this is. Robot-enslaved camels? Cyber camels? What would you call these? The United Emirates is about to mount robot jockeys on racing camels later this year, after a ban on using children in the region's popular sport. It will become the second Gulf Arab state after Qatar to use robots and ban child jockeys following criticism that infants, some as young as four, were brought in from poor countries to race the camels. The UAE's first robot jockey exercise has been successfully carried out in the capital, Abu Dhabi. According to media reports this weekend, which also said the first robots would be produced in August, ready for the next camel racing season. Camel racing? Last month, United Arab Emirates, the UAE, declared the use of jockeys under the age of 16 and weighing less than 45 kilograms, 100 pounds, illegal from April 16th on. The UAE had principle already banned the use of children under 15 since 1993, but abuses remain widespread, and no one has ever been brought to justice. So here's a rule, we won't enforce it. And we all know how much the United Arab Emirate likes to obey rules. The U.S. State Department and human rights groups say children are exploited by traffickers who pay their impoverished parents a paltry sum or simply kidnap their victims. The children, mostly from Bangladesh, Sri Lanka, and Pakistan, are then smuggled to the Gulf states. They are often starved by their employers to keep them light and increase their racing potential. Mounting camels three times their height, the children face risk of being thrown off and trampled. In December, Qatar banned the use of children in camel races, said it was preparing to use robot jockeys in 2005. With a new law introducing robot jockeys, the UAE will adhere to the international regulations governing camel racing, while at the same time preserving the traditional character of camel races as popular local heritage. I think your popular local heritage of camel racing is stupid. There, I said it. Said Sheikh Sultan bin Hamad Al Nahyan, a senior official. I think that's stupid. I think this is a stupid sport. I also think horse racing is stupid, for the record. Unlike the human jockey, a robot is cheaper to maintain and would not have to go the same physical hardship as the humans would. So what's the camel? I mean, it's being controlled by a robot. So is it a slave? Is it a pet? Is it the robot's pet? Robots have never, if it was a human driving a robot, it would be a mecha. So, but it's the other way around. It's a robot driving the camel. So is that a camel mecha? Like, I really need a ruling on this. It's kind of messing with my head a little bit here. I don't really know what it is. Like, what would you call that? I don't know. A little disturbing, I think. I'll call it disturbing and move right along. Don't watch the war dead, for God's sakes. The last thing we'd want to do with wounded troops coming home from the war is meet them at the airport and give them flags and give them a hero's welcome and a hug and stuff. No, we wouldn't want to do that. So, and to make sure that we can do that, we're going to fly in all the soldiers coming back from the war that are maimed and injured and under cover of darkness at night. The Pentagon has been accused of smuggling wounded soldiers under the U.S. under cover of darkness to avoid bad publicity about the number of troops injured or maimed in Iraq. The media have also been prevented from photographing wounded soldiers when they arrive at the hospital. Records show that flights from military bases in Germany arrive in the U.S. only at night. Officials say this is purely a result of flight scheduling pressures. It's not a deliberate tactic to minimize detrimental publicity. They also say that by leaving Europe later in the day, soldiers are given better chance to sleep well the night before. Which, as we all know, the Army really gives a shit about their soldiers' sleeping patterns. Oh, you better believe it. But many campaigners believe otherwise, like myself, for example. Just as the Bush administration has banned the media taking photographs of coffins of American troops killed in Iraq as they arrive in the U.S., which is bullshit, I don't see any reason why that should be illegal whatsoever. And if someone could please explain to me why that is illegal, I'd be really happy about that. Like, why would it be illegal to take pictures of war dead? Shouldn't you be, like, exonerating and honoring the war dead? But, the American public has very limited information about the real impact of this war, said Alan Taylor, a spokeswoman for Code Pink, a peace group that has been protesting outside the Walter Reed Military Hospital in Washington, where the bulk of the wounded are taken. I think that a lot of information about this war is being kept from the public, and that is what we are protesting about. Now, how much do you want to bet that our reports on casualties are flawed? How much do you want to bet that there's a lot more people getting injured in Iraq than we know about? Because really, what bases do we have that only, they said 1,500. That's what they're saying the dead is at. It's not even clear how many troops have been injured since the start of President Bush's war on terror. The Pentagon says about 12,000 troops have been evacuated from battlefields in Afghanistan because the official only lists casualties, soldiers directly hurt by bombs or bullets. The actual total of injured and wounded is believed to be closer to 25,000. Walter Reed says it's treated 4,000 troops injured in Iraq. So, I mean, that's some pretty high numbers, you know. Nighttime arrivals are beneficial to patients because they allow a regular diet of sleep, and then for doctors in Europe to make the final determination of their ability to make long flights, move patients from the Lastol Regional Medical Center to Ramstein Air Base on board the plane, says hospital spokeswoman Lynn Kertal. There's no attempt by Walter Reed to hide the number of patients we receive. On the contrary, since the start of Operation Iraqi Freedom, Walter Reed Public Affairs has issued weekly press releases that includes numbers of medically evacuated patients received that week. Yes, but no one's saying that you're not denying it, because you can't deny that. But we're just saying that we'd like to be able to greet our troops, maybe. And I'm quite certain that if these people felt loved when they were returning from this war, they'd probably be recovering a shitload faster. Let's talk about wind power. Everybody wants to have no more power. So, this is something that this guy's come up with, which, his numbers are there. He's a scientist, but nobody's giving him any money because, after all, why should we start doing stuff now? We can milk people with this terror tactics we got going with oil. So the last thing we want is for Austrian engineer Brian Roberts, who wants to build a power station in the sky, a cluster of flying windmills soaring 15,000 feet in the air. But this guy's having trouble raising enough money to get the project off the ground. After 25 years of research, Roberts has designed a helicopter-like rotorcraft to hoist a wind turbine high into the air, where the winds are persistent and strong. The craft, which is powered by its own electricity, can stay aloft for months. Feeds the electricity to the ground through a cable. Well, I'd be a little worried about the safety concerns in this, but nevertheless. Roberts, a professor of engineering at the University of Technology, Sydney, believes there's enough energy in high-altitude winds to satisfy the world's demands. Wind tunnel data suggests a cluster of 600 flying electric generators, or FEGs, could produce, check this out, three times as much energy as the United States' most productive nuclear power plant. How psycho is that? Roberts has teamed up with Sky Wind Power, a San Diego startup that's trying to commercialize his invention. The company has Federal Aviation Administration approval to conduct tests of technology in California desert, but needs $3 million to build full-size flying generators. The company is having trouble raising cash because there isn't likely to be an immediate return of investors' money. High-altitude winds could provide potentially enormous renewable energy source, and scientists like Roberts believe flying windmills could put an end to dependence on fossil fuels. At 15,000 feet, winds are strong and consistent. On the ground, wind is often unreliable, the biggest problem for ground-based wind turbines. For FEGs, the winds are much more persistent than on ground-based machines, said Roberts. That's part of the benefit, more power and greater concentration. So, you know, that's a good idea. But, of course, we're not going to see that because, you know, there's no direct monetary gain, so why would anyone give a shit about it? That's why you're not going to see that anytime soon. But, you know, all we'd have to do is not build one fighter, you know, maybe decommission for the cost of one supercarrier, of which we have six of them already, or maybe even, you know, another stealth bomber. We could probably fund our space missions and sort this energy thing out, but fuck no, wouldn't want that. Let's just build more bombs. And the CIA and Secret Service are freaking the fuck out. These people are getting so twitchy, it's freaking me out. Listen to this story here, okay? And I'm just going to read it verbatim, but, like, check the spin. Police on Monday tackled and arrested a man who deposited two suitcases in front of a west side of the U.S. Capitol, stood motionless, and asked to speak to President Bush. The man walks up, puts down his bag, and said, "Can I speak to President Bush, please?" The man, whose name is not released, is a 33-year-old Chinese national who's been in the country less than a week, so he doesn't know our ways or customs. What the fuck else would he do? Said Terrence W. Gaynor of the Chief of the U.S. Capitol Police. Dean Boyd, a spokesman for Immigration and Customs Enforcement, said the man had entered the United States legally. Well, obviously, we must be having problems with our legal system. The incident began at 12:40 p.m., Gaynor said, when police became suspicious after the man set the luggage down and took a statue-like pose looking up at the Capitol. Well, being in the Capitol, you do kind of feel that way, so I imagine, what is a statue-like pose exactly? The man told officers he wanted to speak to the president, Gaynor said. After evacuating that side of the Capitol on concerns of a possible bomb, armed officers approached the man from behind. After squatting behind a wall, they ran toward the man and tackled him. What the fuck? The man, who did not resist, was detained for questions by Capitol Police, FBI, and the Secret Service. Capitol Police spokesman Michael Lohr said the man would initially be charged with disorderly conduct. Okay, the man would initially be charged with disorderly conduct. What the fuck did he do? He didn't do anything. Is that disorderly to ask to speak to the president? Once the area was clear, the Capitol's bomb squad x-rayed the bags. One was found to be harmless. The other one contained items that resembled explosives. So they didn't know what it was. So they say to the guy, they go, the man told officers he wanted to speak to the president, right? The man, who did not resist arrest, was detained for questions, okay? And he's going to be charged with disorderly conduct. And his bags are scanned, and they say something that resembles explosives. But Gaynor said the man, when we asked about the contents of the bag, told police that they wanted to see inside, they should open it. Look inside the bag, they said. He's not saying don't open the bag. The Capitol Police discombobulated, that's in quotes, the suitcase with the intent of destroying it to ensure that any explosive triggers could not be used, and found that the suspicious items were parts of a CD player. So the guy shows up with a couple of briefcases from China, says, I'd like to speak to your leader, and he's just an alien from another country, never mind an alien from another planet. They tackle him and blow up his stuff and arrest him and throw him in jail. That is what America is all about. And if you don't think that's what America is all about, then you better check some and balance. because that's what America is now. America is Nazi. That's what you've become. And I'm sorry that I'm the guy to have to break that shit to you, but that's where it is, man. You know, and I'm sure the German people didn't want to admit that they turned into Nazis, but, you know, government in power. I love American people, but the government, I mean, look at this. How crazy is that? And let's not forget, the new X-10 Claymore is on the market. Well, it's not made by X-10, but it may well be. U.S. troops in Iraq will soon be able to lace their defensive perimeters with high-tech, multi-pronged version of the most effective weapons in their enemy's playbook, the remote-controlled bomb. By June, soldiers in the Army's Strike Brigade, which operates mainly around the northern city of Mosul, Striker Brigade,
ooh, good name,
will be able to pick out an individual anti-personnel munition from a minefield of hundreds of, and explode it by pushing a computer's touchscreen from many yards away. So it's kind of like that video game where the guy's coming. It's like Missile Command, only on the ground with mines. The system, known as Matrix, what the fuck, is that the new buzzword, is part of the Army's emerging arsenal of smart landmines that the military officials are meant to do away with the accidental deaths and maimings caused by their not-so-smart brethren. 25 sets of mines, including M18 Claymores and laptops that trigger them over a wireless network, are being rushed into the field after a system was successfully tested in September. Now, does anyone else here see problems with this particular system? Like hacking the landmines much? Activists who have campaigned to get rid of the world of landmines are worried about the Matrix system's potential for havoc. We're concerned the United States is going to field something that has the capability of taking man out of the loop when engaging the target. Why not? Everybody else is, said senior researcher Mark Hisney of the Human Rights Watch. Or we're putting a 19-year-old soldier in a position of pushing a button when a blip shows up on a computer screen. Yes, because that's what they do. So sorry, human rights people, you're losing. Hisney also worries that if need be, smart mines can be turned into plain old dumb anti-personnel mines. Oh, gee, that's good. The Landmine Survivors Network, based in Washington, D.C., and other activist groups have started a campaign asking supporters to write Defense Secretary Donnie Rumsfeld to voice their concerns, which I don't think he reads that mail. Call it me. I don't think you're going to get too well. I don't think you're going to get very far at all with mail to Donnie, and you might get a V-crit. You might get a V-crit. A V-crit is a type of egret which is only grown in Washington and flies nightly out of Donald Rumsfeld's ass to talk to his secret police. But anyway, which he has running around the problem. I'm just going to leave Donnie alone, you know, because eventually he's going to send these secret police to kill me. I know he will. He's the type. Beady little eyes of his. Fucking right. Now, there's a new transistor on the market. Now, this is cool because, of course, faster tech means faster computers. Faster computers means better tech, and we're closer to Mecca. Trust me, new transistors equal Mecca. New transistor, a new type of transistor structure invented by scientists at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign, has broken the 600 gigahertz speed barrier. Dun, dun, dun. The goal of a terahertz transistor for high-speed computing and communications applications could now be within reach. The new device, built from indium phosphide and indium gallium arsenide, that sounds really healthy, is designed with compositionally graded collector base emitter to reduce transit time and improve current density with their pseudomorphic heterojunction bipolar transistor. Jesus, there's an online name, eh? I'm a pseudomorphic heterojunction bipolar transistor. I'm a bipolar transistor. My doctor said so. The researchers have demonstrated the speed of 604 gigahertz. The fastest transistor operation to date. You know, I can just see the math hair guys just toasting the beer and, you know, slapping it around and getting all turned on. Pseudomorphic grading of the material structure allows to use lower band gap in selected areas, said Milton Feng, a Holmec professor of electrical and computer engineering and researcher at the Coordinated Science Laboratory at Illinois. He is also the biggest nerd on the planet. This permits faster electron flow in the collector. The composition grading of transistor components also improves current density and signal charging time. Now, apparently, this guy has had both Sylvia Saint and Nikki Tyler calling him nonstop because of this invention. No shit. This guy is like, wow. On a porn screen near you, you're going to be seeing Milton Feng very, very soon. Mr. Fast Transistor Guy. Feng, a graduate student at Waltz Hafez, fabricated the new device in the university's micro and nanotechnology laboratory. They described the pseudomorphic HPT concept and discussed the transistor's high-speed operation in the April 11th issue of the Journal of Applied Physics Letters, which is cool because I subscribed to that, so I'll be reading that really soon. The goal of terahertz transistor was not possible using the previous device structuring, Fang said. To achieve such high speed in typical HPT, the current density would become so large it would melt the components. In the pseudomorphic HPT, we can operate higher frequencies with less current density. And with this new material structure, a terahertz transistor is achievable. Like, you know, the porn industry loves this guy. No wonder, you know, no wonder. He's getting a signed photograph, you know, from, oh, everybody is onto this guy. You know, everybody wants him. Fastest transistors could facilitate faster computers, you think? More flexible and secure wireless communications. Well, just being faster doesn't make it more secure, but nice try. And for more effective electronics. I don't care. I only want the Mecca. Now, we got some more information about Bolton. Remember Bolton? Not the Michael guy. He's the dude with the clarinet, I think, who sucks. No, Bolton is the dude who the United States has decided to be the UN ambassador. And you know what? He's the worst possible choice ever. The guy who is the Nobel Prize-winning economist who was with the United Nations went, whoa, are you on fucking drugs? I can't believe you're going to use this guy. Everybody hates this guy. Nobody wants this guy. The entire UN doesn't want this guy. And there's more Bolton bullshit saying they don't want this guy. Democrats have sought to block President Bush's pick for the UN ambassador at a confirmation hearing on Monday that focuses on allegations the nominee tried to have intelligence analysts removed from their posts after disagreeing with him. So he's a bully as well. Bush's choice of John Bolton, a blunt detractor of the world body, has been a lightning rod for criticism of the president for Democrats who complain he's forged a go-it-alone approach to U.S. foreign policy. Bolton is now the top U.S. diplomat for non-proliferation. Democratic senators zeroed in on Bolton's effects in the capacity to reassign analysts in 2002 after they deferred with him on Cuba's alleged weapons programs and apparently undercut his position. One analyst was a chemical and biological weapons intelligence expert at the State Department. The other worked on the National Intelligence Council. You disagree with Bolton, you're fucking gone. There is, to state bluntly, Mr. Bolton, a concern that your ideological predisposition relating to some of these issues have clouded your judgment. That is what we were talking about, said Joseph Biden of Delaware, the ranking Democrat of the U.S. Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Bolton, a hardline favorite with the Bush conservative base, said that some accusations have already been investigated and dismissed by a Congressional Intelligence Committee. Because that's what Congressional Intelligence Committees do. Can you remember the last time a Congressional Intelligence Committee actually nailed someone to a wall? I can't. He acknowledged, however, that he had asked one of the analysts be moved to another post because he objected to the expert going behind his back to oppose his position. He had one conversation complaining about the other analyst, he said. Eight Democrats in the 18-member panel also said Bolton's appointment would undercut Bush's assertions. He wants to repair diplomatic ties frayed over the Iraqi war. Democrats, who are all expected to oppose the nomination, hopes to persuade at least one Republican on the committee to vote against Bolton in hopes of blocking the nomination. But when Senate aides said they expect the committee to approve the nomination along party lines, sending the Republican-controlled Senate, which will likely confirm him. The nomination will not go to the full Senate for a vote in the event of a tie. The hearing could last days. Now, you got to realize that this Bolton guy, nobody wants him. Nobody wants this guy in the office. And why is that? Because the United States is very definitely going, hi, we're an empire. Thanks for coming out. Yeah, we don't care about anyone. We don't care about the world's problems. We don't give a shit about shit. But we care enough to send people all over the world to fight for freedom. Okay, well, you're either going to work with people and, you know, promote freedom, or you're not. If our boys are dying overseas in some shitty sand war, okay, then I'd like our boys to, you know, well, first of all, I'd like them to be flown home and given heroes welcomes, not flown in the middle of the night like some sort of leper, for starters. Second of all, I'd like our boys to have some support from other boys in other countries around the world. Just a, you know, an idea. Or girls, even. You know, boys or girls, whoever comes to the aid. But, you know, realistically, if our country is sending our sons and daughters off into harm's way, shouldn't other countries be doing the same goddamn thing? There are some really nice armies in the world, you know. And if they're not sending these armies off to do these things, should we be sending our army off to do these things? And people go, what about freedom? Well, you're not growing up. You're not seeing the world for what it really is. The world is not a nice place. There's a great minority of people who live well. The rest of the world lives like shit. Now, I do not want to live like shit. Correct me if I'm wrong, but neither do you. So what does that mean? That means that we have to preserve our way of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. And the way we preserve that is by holding our government accountable when they fuck up our rights. Hello? But how do we do that? Well, we get involved legally, and we start getting political. Everybody's political now. No one is allowed not to be political. It's just the way it is. Okay? Now, in Australia, it seems that Australia is taking on England for the Gattaca title of shittiest place in the entire universe to live. Yes, it's true. The Aussies are going absolutely 1984. Desert runner, you'd better start running. Australia, any data seem different on your computer today? If you're in Australia, the government has the ability to modify your files. Its cyber spooks have been given legal power to not only monitor private computers around the country, but to change the data they contain. Holy fuck. The new powers are contained in a bill passed by Australia's Parliament late last month. The Australian Security Intelligence Organization legislation amendment. They now await only the largely ceremonial assent of Australia's Governor General before it becomes law. These are really untested waters, says Chris Connolly, a vocal Australian privacy advocate. I don't think there's an example anywhere else in the world that's comparable. Yeah, this is absolutely unbelievably bad. Under the new law, Australia's Attorney General... This is law, okay? It hasn't been passed by the Governor General, but this is what's going on in Australia and what's coming next for us. Australia's Attorney General can authorize legal hacking into private computer systems as well as copying or altering data as long as he has a reasonable cause to believe it's relevant to a security matter. Reasonable cause to believe it's relevant. Jesus. The keyboard spies will come from the Australian Secret Intelligence Organization, ISO, Australia's equivalent to the Central Intelligence Agency. Catherine Fitzpatrick, and Patrick's fifth Catherine, a spokeswoman for the Attorney General Darrell Williams, says the law merely modernizes an existing 1979 statute that previously governed ACSO, a sorely needed updating. Well, in 1979, lady, you were talking about phones. We weren't talking about computers. It's a totally new ballgame. This just brings ASO's powers into the new line with new technologies, she said. It doesn't give them increased powers at all. No. That's right. No new power. You could just alter my data on my PC at home. How could that possibly be concerned as new power for you? You psycho, psycho bitch. For example, the new law bars sleuths from introducing viruses or interfering with data used for lawful purposes on targeted computers, she said. In addition, the bill limits the power to alter data on computer to conceal surveillance, she said. While all this is true, the bill specifically authorizes, among other things, anything that's reasonably incidental, and is its broad wording like this has a well, it's just a huge weak oversight of the nation's cyber spies, and they have their opponents just completely aghast. I hate to use the word Orwellian, but I can't think of anything better to describe this, says Greg Taylor, vice chairman of the Electronic Frontiers Australia. It's another stop down the path of legalized surveillance and all information by authorities, he said. Taylor believes the new law could be especially damaging to people's faith in encrypted communications because government hackers could potentially lift encryption keys from individual computers. Holy fuck! Like, wow, this is shocking shit. The bill seems to get around the problems that strong cryptography presents to law enforcement, Taylor said. Now then it can attack the problem at the source, the originating computer, before the data even gets encrypted. Unless, of course, you, encrypt your drives and go online and, oh my God. In addition, the new law can introduce tricky new issues into legal cases. It opens to questions all computer evidence that if there's ever been a potential for legalized tampering. If computer evidence already possesses problems of validation, and that's before you even open up these legal avenues of tampering. So really, how easy is it for them now to put together a frame job in Australia? I mean, they've already got that thing in Sweden, right? We had that big bust in Sweden. You remember that? There was a big bust in Sweden. Here's how that went. They had an informer, right, who paid the Swedish government to, or the, pardon me, who the Swedish government paid the informer to, report to them and snitch out all his buddies and gain information and turn in everybody and generally just be a fuckstick. then they paid the... This happened, okay? They paid the informer, okay, to put data that's pirate illegal data on the server so that when they busted the server, they'd know that they'd have the data. That's called planting evidence, okay? It's totally illegal in most countries. It's totally unethical. But it was practiced in Sweden. Now, with this system here, understand when you have, like, companies like Diebold who were making voting machines that rigged the presidential election, so they hacked their own election to make sure that the psycho stays in office, okay? When they can rig the presidential election, what makes you think that they will not rig your computer so when they bust your house, they don't have eggs on their face anymore? You see what I'm saying? You see how that works? It's real easy. So since it's already happening, you just have to follow existing trends to see how incredibly fucked that truly is. Because there's something very, very wrong with this. Okay, there's something very, very wrong with this. And we shouldn't be having to deal with that. I mean, this is kind of psycho, don't you think? I mean, I think it's kind of psycho. So what do? In Australia, I guess they have to move. Or perhaps, you know, I guess being a hacksaw now is now more important than ever. And really, honest to God, the milk is okay. Really. Okay, now, hang on. Let's remember that, first of all, humans are biological entities. So we're going to go with the we're animals thing, okay? Now, when an animal is born, it drinks milk from its mother, right? And then, you know, after you're done drinking the milk, you stop drinking the milk, and then you, you know, eat food and stuff, okay? Now, why do we drink cow's milk? Okay, it's actually, there's a lot of reasons not to drink cow's milk, which I'm not going to get into right now, but there's a lot of reasons not to drink it. You need calcium. Eat some spinach, okay? Eat some leafy greens. Furthermore, if you take, I think it's calcium without vitamin D, or calcium without magnesium, that's what it is. I think it's magnesium and vitamin D, but I'm pretty sure it's magnesium. It won't absorb into your system. And there's lots of evidence that reports that drinking milk actually causes bone problems. So at some point, you got to go, well, you know, is milk even a good idea? But when they say that genetically modified cloned cow's milk, dude, I'm not drinking that. I am not drinking that. If you strain my milk through shit, I'm not drinking it. If you clone the milk, I'm not drinking that either. I'd like to keep my food as close to being natural as possible because I am a natural being. The milk is okay. Really, these findings should ease safety concerns by both the public and regulators about eating cloned animals, says researchers Zhang Zong Yang of the Center for Regenerative Biology at the University of Connecticut. The study was published in Tuesday's issue preceding the National Academy of Sciences. The Food and Drug Administration has asked the food industry to keep products from cloned animals out of the food chain while it considers their safety. Understanding, of course, that the food industry doesn't give a fuck about the FDA, but that's okay. So we're probably already eating cloned cows. This is yet another reason to become a vegetarian. Cloning, the creation of an animal from the DNA of a single parent, should produce an animal identical to that parent. There's that should word. But as the technology has developed, many cloning attempts have ended in birth defects, like cows with flippers. All parameters examining the clones in this study were within the normal range. What's the range? It's either safe or not safe. What the fuck is the range? And the dairy products approved for human consumption, Yang said in a telephone interview. Two beef clones were studied that had been produced in Japan from the famous Japanese black breeding bull with superior meat marbling traits. That's because the fat marbles through all the meat and it tastes so good, the Japanese black breeding bulls. And then, you know, these massive, magnificent animals get their heads cut off and we chop them into little bits and put them in stew. Two beef clones were studied, but the 10 dairy clones were produced at the University of Connecticut from a Holstein cow that produces a lot of milk. Now, let's not forget, after we'll take the clone cows, then we'll feed them all the hormones that are synthetic that, you know, distend their udders so they drag on the ground, and basically we matrix our cows. The researchers from Connecticut and the Kagoshima Prefectural Cattle Breeding Institute in Japan analyzed milk for a variety of factors, including protein, fat, lactose, and solids, and studied more than 100 components in the beef, concluded that both were within the range of standards for milk and meat now consumed, which... Well, I don't really, still don't know much about the current stage of what that is, because I know milk is scary-ass shit. The FDA declined to comment on these findings, but said it will include a report of the material as it is reviewed on the food from cloned animals. The agency said it expects its own safety assessment of these products to be released soon. Yeah, because the FDA wants to get their payoffs so they could just turn their head and say, yeah, okay, we'll sell this. We got given enough money. That's fine. Fuck, I hate the FDA. But in other news, we do have power armor for senior citizens. Yes, it makes getting old look all that much better, doesn't it? Or even Smokey. We can get this for Smokehouse. A robot suit, which is not a robot. It is not a robot suit. It is a mechanical suit. Jesus, you fucking reporters. It's an exoskeleton is what it is. It's not a robot suit. Jesus. An exoskeleton has been developed that can help older people or those with disabilities walk or lift heavy objects, like a car. Dubbed HAL, or Hybrid Assistive Limb, the latest version of the suit will be unveiled June 2005 World Expo in Aichi, Japan, which opened last month. A commercial product is slated for release by the end of the year. HAL is a result of 10 years' work by Yoshiki Senkai of the University of Tsukuba in Japan, and integrates mechanics, electronics, bionics, and robotics in the new field known as cybernics, which is actually cybernetics. You know the reason it's called cybernics. The most fully developed prototype, HAL 3, is a motor-driven metal exoskeleton that you strap onto your legs to power assist movement. The backpack holds a computer and a wireless network connection, and the batteries are on a belt. Two control systems interact to help the wearer stand, walk, and climb stairs. The cybernetic system uses bioelectric sensors attached to the skin and legs to monitor signals transmitted from the brain to the muscles. It can do this because when someone intends to stand or walk, the nerve signals to the muscle generators a detectable current over the skin surface. These currents picked up by the sensors, sent to a computer, which translate the nerve signals into its own controlling electric motors in the hips and knees of the exoskeleton. It takes a fraction of a second, and the motors respond accordingly. And in fact, they respond a fractionally faster than the original signal from the brain to the wearer muscles do. The motors respond faster than the signal from the wearer's brains to their own muscles. So that means that you could take this, hook this to the right kind of larger sets of legs if you were to scale it up, and you could really use a human as the gyro and create larger walking mecha. Kind of a neat idea. While the bio-cybernetic system moves individual elements of the exoskeleton, a second system provides autonomous robotic control over the motors and to coordinate these movements and make the task easier, overall helping someone to walk for existence. The HAL 4 and HAL 5 prototypes, which have also demonstrated at Expo 2005, don't just help a person to walk. They have upper parts to assist the arms and will help a person lift up to 40 kilograms more than they managed unaided. The new HAL will also eliminate the need for a backpack. Instead, the computer wireless connection have been shrunk to fit in a pouch attached to the suit's belt. HAL 5 also has a smaller motor housing, making the suit much less bulky around the hips and knees. But does it transform into a motorcycle? That's what we want. Now, disconnected from reality, listen to this. Everyone in the world should have their genetic profile stored in a database, but that information should be held independently of authorities, according to a pioneer of DNA fingerprinting. Who the fuck is going to stand up outside of the authorities and say, I've got the DNA data, because the authorities are authorities? If you give them access and the authorities no access, they become an authority and they will use this for money and profiteering. It's an impossible model. It doesn't work. Current practices mean that only DNA of criminals is stored in most countries and information is held by government agencies. In a lecture on Saturday to mark the 20th anniversary of the discovery of DNA fingerprinting, Professor Sir Alec Jeffries of Leicester University said a global DNA database would have been invaluable in identifying victims of the recent tsunami. Is it really that important that we're willing to give up all of our rights? I say no. Instead, investigators face endless searches through incomplete records or having caused further distress in relatives to their victims. Professor Jeffries criticized the current version of the UK criminal DNA database and expressed concern about the new layers allow authorities to add people who have not been convicted of any crime. So he's worried about that. Having your DNA profile on database makes sense to you as an individual, he told his audience. But if any of you have been in Thailand or Indonesia on holiday or have been killed by the tsunami, how would you have been identified? Your DNA profile is on that database. You can look in there and immediately carry out the identification. It's worthy considering having your profile in the database. But he did urge caution to who should be given access to such information. Any new database should keep names and addresses separate from DNA information, so that casual hackers could not get access to it. In addition, the means by which authorities should gain access to the information should be strictly controlled. I don't think it's possible. I think Buddy spent too much time inside the lab, and I don't think it's even feasible that you could make a database like that that you could keep the authorities out of. Because once it's made, it's a matter of them taking it. And we all know that they will be able to grab it. Now, check this out. For those of you that are running not Windows, there's a really cool program that you can run. It's called, well, it's, what it is it's a personal storm warning. This is kind of neat. Awareness of severe weather hazards can save lives. The National Weather Service and many other special divisions, such as the Storm Prediction Center, do a great job of providing severe weather forecasting and detection. Television, radio station, websites, and other media help convey this information to the general public. But unless you're watching or listening or surfing when information comes out, you may not be aware of it. The goal of Storm Siren is to help fill that gap. Now, this is neat. Storm Siren is a personal server weather monitoring tool that communicates information from the National Weather Service issued bulletins on potential and imminent hazardous weather. The program is designed to run via scheduled programs such as Cron or the Windows Task Scheduler and scans the NWS International Interactive Weather Information Networks to watch for warnings affected by user-specified locations. When such bulletins are detected, the program can send a concise summary of the alerts to one or more devices via SMTP, or, such as a pager, SMS-capable wireless phone, or standard email account. So that means that you're standing there and bang, you get this alert. Dude, there's a storm coming. We got to get out of here. That's pretty cool. And I believe it's free, so that's why it's today's daily hack. And that's all I got for you today, but don't worry. I will be back tomorrow to make sure you get all the information that you need to stay alive. This is a free broadcast brought to you by the generous donations of those willing to fight in this time of crisis. And they are Forley, Dave, The Great Ghost, Jesse, Drake, Philip, Robert, Michael, Melican, Anonymous, Derek, Jesse, Susan, Eric, Steve, Matt, Brandon, Keith, Peter, Timor, Malcolm, Peter, Rosalie, Evan, Triad, Matt, Austin, David, Brian, Jonathan, Host, Mojo, Adam, Mark, Trevor, Brandon, Philip, Jonathan, Michael, Daniel, Art, Darmu, Justin, Charles, Matthews, Lars, Eric, Allen. New subscribers this month were Druid Y, Simaru, Tara, Dark Nature, Brandon, Jason, Richard, Matt, Jesse, Joseph, Andrew, End User, and Christopher. Thank you so much for being the reinforcements. And if you would like to help keep this daily newscast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the Donate tab. Special thanks to some hard netrunners who are the Recce Element. That would be Psy, Pigmonkey, Rainstreak, Vavrek, Bonsai Poppy, No Delete, Dead Code, and Ricky Rocket. Special thanks to Skyburst for giving me a link that helps me with some after-now writing I'm doing and some video. And no digital baptisms this week, but there could be some if you ask me for them. So if you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up the album by called No Time by Code Machine. It's a single. It's 5 songs. I've looped it here. Very, very cool. I want to stay on top of these Code Machine. Very, very great. And thanks again to everyone for their assistance in gathering data. If you have access to sensitive information or any of the pertinent stories, please email them to newsreel. That's newsreel at rantradio.com. I'm going to leave you now with a Life soundtrack song. Now, these are one of those songs that come along every now and again that really teaches deeper insight and meaning. And we all have songs like that we know generally you can apply to every facet of your life. And this particular song discusses a lot of strategy that is useful in like, there's a lot of games out there that this could be useful in. Mostly like Terminal City as one, any of the first-person shooter games, the ones, you know, I'm trying to think of the name of that one where you have the car and you kill everybody in the city and you run them over and stuff. There's a real zen to those games, you know, to really do well at them. And sometimes you need to have a song that comes along that teaches you the strategy for first-person shooter games like that. And this one is one of those particular tracks. It's by 36 Mafia and Insane Clown Posse. And it's called, insightfully, I'll Stab You. And I think it's a real winner. So until tomorrow, that's what server said. End of line.
I stab you with an umbrella and then open it.
No!
Because I'm sick like a diseased Ethiopian.
That shit's
whack. Wait, fuck that. All right, hold up.
All right, come on.
Wait a second, listen. I'll peel your cat back with a cannonball. I'll buck them all, fuck them all.
Yeah.
You're standing tall.
Woo!
3-6 Mafia!
Yes, yes!
St. Compassi and Twist!
No. We used to rob for them petty things like a gold chain. No, a motherfucking peck it rain. That was cocaine. If you see me on the dope train, I'm the dope man. Cigarettes in my right hand, ready to make a stain. Old folks scared of eye gain. Out the window pane, they be looking with a migraine while I catch a train. And you know it's a fucking shame when you win this game. Trying to sail to a sprung lane, I control your brain.
I do my niggas bust clocks, fuck with us, bitch. See, it's the buckets of the boat. Bust a drink, make them bleed. Do a snake, do a bang. Nigga, cover the
that ICP with that 666 click. Hoes that pop lip can't eat a dick, go get your neck slit. Don't have any memory lapses of bodies off in the caskets with no heads, monoxide, ruler with a cat.
On the lawn with the psychopathic leather zone. You say it's on, so come bring it on. We getting drunk at your funerals. Treat us like we criminals. We juggalo individuals. We just another crazy clique. ICP, twisted 666. All up in this bitch and we running shit. We doing drive-bys on all y'all with chainsaws. Pure uncut, redefined, rugged and raw.
Just another crazy clique. Doing whatever to get us by. When we pumped up, you wind up looking.
Show them who really run in the streets with the calico. Okay.